is pleased to help us. We will venture to speak a few things from verses 34 and 35. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Many of God's people have heard the letter of the truth in a graceless condition, but where God has a purpose of grace toward his sons and daughters, he comes with power and authority by and through that blessed third person of the Holy Ghost. And when that appointed time comes with all his people, it has an effectual fruitfulness with it, and it brings every child of God into this exercise condition which this beautiful verse explains, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Some of you perhaps are able to speak of a time when you sat under the truth for many years, but there came a time when you heard God's voice in your conscience. Because when God comes first, he does not come through the gospel in that sweet substance of peace, but he comes as a God of judgment, which is most essential to bring his sons and daughters to their senses. And we have two verses in Proverbs: he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded, and him that regardeth reproof shall be honored. And I am persuaded of this, although the free willer tells us to turn at God's reproof, when God comes with his authority and makes the place of his feet glorious, he makes all his sons and daughters turn at his word of reproof. Jesus speaks of the Holy Ghost and his work, and he said he shall convince of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And what a wonderful mercy if you can trace your standard of experience in these simple words in this verse: watching daily at his gates, waiting at the post of his doors. Sometimes the a child of God who is called out of the world is looked upon to be a more conspicuous calling, but I do not agree with that, friends, because when God comes to his people, even in childhood, they are brought into an exercise condition. You will tread his courts not to fill up a pew, nor to see relations, but you will come with a conviction of sin in your soul and conscience. And there is much encouragement in this word for God's people who have been wrought upon in 20 years. He said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So it's very definite that children do hear the voice of this wonderful God who speaks in this chapter. That is to say, he deals with many of his sons and daughters at an early age. For we do believe there are babes in heaven and there are children in heaven. And all those characters are brought to hear and know something of their lost and ruined condition, and it brings them into an exercise condition. And what a blessed favor it is for a young person to find grace in God's sight, where they've never been left to perhaps go outside of God's earthly course. I cannot speak on that standard, but I do believe there is a standard in the 119th Psalm which all God's people can lay claim to who've come right. And it is this, that where the entrance of God's word enters, it giveth light and it giveth understanding, and it has this effect in every child of God: I thought on my ways and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Now sometimes you will hear God's people are more favored with a deeper conviction work, but you will find there are blessed scriptures in the Bible left on record for those who have been wrought upon in tender years. And God makes his people distinct by this authority. You know, God does not love everybody, but he does love his sons and daughters who have been sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. And we hope some of us are living witnesses of the power and the authority of God, who has come and brought us to our senses. He takes the fool and he makes them wise. And the scripture declares that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We cannot give ourselves an understanding of God in the ruin, through the ruins of the fall. None can turn to God until God turns them. And I hope you will never turn away from the standard of God's truth in that, because you have the free willer and the merit monger who put so much power in the lap of the creature, but we've been in the ways of grace long enough to know this, that everybody, God's people of course including them, they must be born again before they can have a possessing knowledge savingly of God as a God of judgment and a God of mercy. Now this watching daily at his gates, waiting at the post of his doors. All ministers have their own way of explaining things, and myself, not being an educated person, I maintain and hold fast to this, that this refers to the means of grace. And when you come under the word, whether God pulls you out of the crowd in the profane world or comes to you in the pew, you will have the same exercise within you, because God will work in you whereby he will exercise you to give diligence to make your own calling and election sure. You won't be like a lot of foolish virgins worrying about somebody else, but it will be a personal matter with you. It's a definite work. And God speaks here, blessed is the man. I know Satan could buffet a woman here because he doesn't mention the woman, but God is a God of time and order, and as you know, God created Adam first in his own likeness. That is upright, and good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. But this includes the woman and also others who may be maidens and growing up into womanhood. You see, God is no respecter of person. His family consists of all ages, and we see in God's holy word his sovereignty is exercised in these things concerning his own kingdom. Now you should be able to speak for yourself in the exercise of your religion. I can speak for mine. I cannot speak for others. But you will find if God pull you out of the world or come to you in a place of worship, he will bring you into a state of exercise because of the new birth which he creates in you. You see, Paul speaks of a quickening power and authority, and you hath he quickened who were sometimes dead in trespasses and in sin, and walking according to the course of this world, either in a dead religion or in the profane world. And our natures are no different to those who perish in their sins, because our nature is the same as a vessel of wrath fitted to destruction. And under this watching and waiting, you will do trading with God. You won't come as a stony ground hearer who anon with joy receives a dead form of religion, and who are so excitable that you will have a wound in your soul. And when God works this, you will be not a talkative Christian, but you will be a silent one. And you will need a lot of patience with the gracious teaching of the Holy Ghost in conviction, because you won't gather every time under the means of grace, but there will be times when the Lord will condescend as you are found under this exercise and in this watching and waiting. You will find this, that the Good Shepherd will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Where he brings to the birth, he must feed. And he has promised to strengthen weak hands and to confirm feeble knees. And what a wonderful mercy it is for God's people as they increase in age, where the Holy Ghost will cause them to retrace their calling by grace, not with earthquake convictions, perhaps, but with a holy conviction which has that standard in it which Christ preached himself. Him that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, and that they are wrought in God. And we believe God's people are wrought upon in their early childhood or teens. They begin to seek the Lord early in life, and they are made finders too, because that is in this second part of the text. This wonderful Christ, you know, this eighth of Proverbs, it deals and speaks with the eternal generation of Christ which he had with the Father as the divine word. And it is he that speaks. And here he says, for whoso findeth me findeth life. We do not believe, friends, that the shipwreck the saved by sinking, but that God is that wonderful, holy and infinite and eternal God and creator. And Jesus said in his ministry that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What a sad thing it would be if God put life in our souls by the quickening power of the Spirit and never fed that soul. But you will find this, that the Lord, who is the good shepherd of his sheep, he feeds his people according to his sovereignty and according to their needs. And in this exercise, they prove for themselves from time to time, not every time they come under the word, but there is a set time for Zion, that he does satisfy the longing soul, and he filleth a hungry soul with goodness. And what a mercy it is if you and I have been chosen by the Father in eternity, and chosen in Christ Jesus in eternity, and loved by the Holy Spirit. You see, where God implants life in the soul, there must be travail, And where there's travail naturally, there must be labor. We do not believe, friends, in a dead religion if we have been dealt with by the Holy Ghost, because where the Lord comes with authority and makes the place of his feet glorious, he warns his sons and daughters of their sinnership and lost and ruined condition, and he also warns them to flee from the wrath to come. You know, sometimes we contact with God's people who've had what we call a very deep law work. Well, some of them have, friends, but they should be very much exercised how they speak about that. I've had my law work, and I wouldn't let a free will have beat me out of it. But I have observed this in my meeting together with many of God's people. They far excelled me, and some of them have almost been driven in the madhouse under a law work. And it is wrong for that person to ridicule the weakest believer that would hang upon Christ. But children have their law work. You see, where God comes and quickens and convinces of sin and of righteousness, the law enters that the offense might abound, and they are brought to understand that they've sinned against God and come short of the glory of God, and solemnly convinced of this, that there is none that seeketh after God, and there's none understandeth, because there is none righteous. But when God comes with authority, you will find that the law is applied according to the sovereignty of God. And where can you find a more beautiful illustration or word set forth for the comfort of God's people in all standards of experience? The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Well, now you hold fast to your own convictions. If you hope and trust, God has come in that remarkable way in searching you out and seeking you, whereby you've been able to say, when I was to thee a stranger, wandering in forbidden way, from the paths of sin and danger, thou didst call me by thy grace. Well, now the first work of this wonderful voice of God then is a God of judgment in the conscience. Where sin is made exceedingly sinful according to the sovereign application of God through the law. But without a law work, there is no knowledge of sin in the conscience as it is before a holy and a heart-searching God. All ministers of the Spirit will contend for a law work, but they must not set up their own criterion in it. I have heard where men have been cut down in a public house, and other solemn characters too have been brought out of the world who have had great pleasure in desecrating God's day. Well, a greater measure of the law is essential, but don't ever think that it needs the same measure of the law to deal with a child or a young person under the means of grace. But there must be some measure of the law work to convince that child of its foolishness and waywardness and folly, because the thought of foolishness is sin in the sight of the most holy God, and without the law there is no knowledge of sin. You see, a natural conviction of right or wrong would never bring anybody in guilty before a holy and a heart-searching God. The Pharisees have that, but when God comes to do his work, and it is a strange work and it is a strange act, nevertheless it's a wonderful work, and it is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Well, now, can you look back to the time in this exercise in your buddings of grace when you began to watch daily at his gates and to wait at the post of his doors, when you used to watch beyond your watchtower to hear what the Lord would speak to you. And God does still today work in the hearts of his people this standard of experience. And what a wonderful mercy it is when God does condescend to speak to his people in this soul trouble, which is a trouble which is hid from the wise and the prudent. And many of God's people have been favored to testify this beautiful work in their childhood or in their youth. I was at the age of 30 when God met with me, and as I am growing older, so he gives me a sweet reviving of all his dealings with me. But this is the greatest thing and blessing in it, is this, that his people have been blessed and loved by him in eternity, and chosen in his Son, and loved by the Holy Ghost, whose prerogative it is to quicken and convince of sin and lead to Jesus' blood. And we hope that we can walk with God's living people as the Spirit takes us back. When he condescended to come through the means of grace, it may have been only through a hymn perhaps, but sometimes through his living servants, and sometimes in private when we were meditating and searching his word. Oh, how beautiful then is the word of God to those who cannot speak of a deep law work. Nevertheless, they do the same thing. They ponder the paths of their feet. They think upon their ways, and they turn their feet unto the Lord's testimony. Well, now Christ speaks here of a finding. You see, there is no comfort under the law work in conviction of sin, friends. Law and terrors under conviction of sin with a child or a person more advanced in years is law and terror which hardens. Under that budding of grace where the Spirit comes to convince us of our folly and our wrong and our shame, you know, we have a dreadful slavish fear of this terrible God who out of Christ is consuming fire. And you know, it's no good of a dead professor to try and convince a young person or an older person that this wonderful God won't be so strict against sin as he declares it. You see, the lofty looks of man must be humble, and the haughtiness of man should be brought low, and the Lord of hosts should be exalted in that day. And it is this character that God looks upon in mercy. Him that doth inhabit eternity, he says, to this man will I look, who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Now, what a vast difference that is in the wonderful work of regeneration in comparison with that dead religion which foolish virgins are wrapped up in. You know, it's a wonderful mercy, my friend, if you and I have been dealt with by God, because God does not love everybody. I used to know a young man in our denomination, and he was a most sober lad, and we all loved him, and important people loved him in the denomination. But you know, God never loved him. Oh, one important person, he thought, he would make a wonderful minister in our denomination. He made a solemn end, friends. He was always under the truth. He wasn't allowed to go into any other cause of truth, only a strict and particular Baptist chapel. And he was always under the word. And if he wasn't in the Bible class, he'd be in the pew under the ministry. And he heard the cream of the ministry. But you know, God never loved me. You know, time proves everything in religion. You and I may judge with a good will sometimes. I couldn't help loving the lad. And if you'd have said to me, well, I don't believe he's a vessel, I don't believe he's a child of God, I should have withstood you very abruptly, because he was certainly no trouble, and he carried all the sobriety that an exercised child of God would. But you know, when the time came for God to make it manifest, and I'm not speaking now something of an idle tale, but I was in the company of one of his relations, and she related to me the solemn issue of it. And you know, he even climbed in this world by obtaining a position through the prayer of the relation who prayed for him. And he confessed, my friend, that was an answer to prayer. But you know, he was a vessel of wrath fitted to destruction. Oh, it'll take eternity for the church to praise this wonderful God for his wonderful favor toward them and working in them, you know. Because if the Lord didn't work in his elect people who were dead in sin, they couldn't work anything themselves. But Jesus, in his beautiful ministry, he preaches both sides of a child of God's experience. And he says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Well, now, God is a God of judgment. He's our first experience. But then the other side is, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now here, Jesus, in his blessed divine word, speaks to us. For whoso findeth me findeth life. Well, there must be a finding of Christ through the means of grace, that is, obtaining a saving knowledge of him as the savior of the world, that is, his people in the world. Otherwise we should never have this left on record. You know, many of God's people have been able to speak of the remission of sins in 10 years. I don't pour contempt on young people in their experiences, but this is very definite, friends. It must be our experience here, if our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because no person is blessed outside of the experience of these two verses. And you know, God brings his people into this world to know him, whom to know is life eternal, and he does give all his sons and daughters, whatever age or case it may be, the knowledge of salvation by the remission of their sins. You cannot prove, friends, that you've had the gospel until you've been brought to enjoy the remission of your sins. You know, let a man can expound the scriptures and set before you wonderful and beautiful, attractive sermons in the letter, but if that minister's never had his sins forgiven, he knows nothing of the gospel. And what a solemn thing it is for a child or a youth or a maiden to be favored with this experience, and the minister knows nothing about it himself. You know, there are such characters like that in the ministry. They can split the Trinity, they can preach sovereign and discriminating grace and election and adoption and everything. They could set it before you better than I could. But as I approached one minister on one occasion in my early calling in my first love, who used to preach with a yoke round his neck, and I bore along with him until I could stick him no more, and I approached him after the ministry, and I said, excuse me, I said, have you had your sins forgiven? He said, no. I said, I thought you hadn't, the way you preach. A minister of the Spirit, my friend, he preaches what he's tasted, handled and felt, And God's elect speak of what they tasted, handled, and felt, and they don't need to borrow another man's line of things ready to hand. Well, now this God, who has power to quicken and convince of sin, he also has power to reveal. And you know, those that wait upon the Lord, my friend, they are made rewarders of the things which God has promised. And it's a wonderful thing for God to come by the Holy Spirit and to glorify Christ and receive of him and show the poor, sensible, guilty child of God the way how God deals with their sin. Now that's finding Christ. A revealed Christ set before you by the Holy Ghost, being delivered for your offenses and raised again for your justification, will bring forgiveness in your troubled breast by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. You see, the wrath of God never brings love and mercy. You see, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And when God's people are brought into the blessed remission of their sins, they possess Christ formed in their heart as the hope of glory. He is in their hearts and affections as a living substance. And you come to consider the wonderful sovereignty of God's grace abounding over us and the power of sin and Satan to bring us into this time state to know this wonderful Christ, who in our unregeneracy was to us no more than a root out of a dry ground, because Jehovah Sikinu meant nothing to us. How many years, my friend, were you treading Christ under your feet? Because you know, you haven't to stand up to my standard of preaching when you stand before the judgment seat. You must stand before this wonderful Christ. And oh, what a mercy it is when the child of God is drawn to Christ by the Holy Ghost, and that Spirit shows to that poor guilty child or youth or maiden or child of God in more advanced in years how God has pardoned their iniquities and passed by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage by the Father sending the Son. He gives the Son, he gives his life. The Spirit applies and faith puts on the righteousness of God. And here in his love, not that we love God, but that God first loved us. Now hold fast to what you believe you had in your early years, if this wonderful Christ, the good shepherd of the sheep, condescended to deal with you and meet with you, my friend, in this pathway which is set forth here. We do believe what Christ says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You will read in the second chapter of Jeremiah the first love which a child of God is brought into when they run in the ways of his commandments, and also, my friend, their love and espousal days when they were favored to find this a wonderful Christ who loved them and gave himself for them, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. What's this world's riches, learning honor, wealth, and fame, in comparison with this favor? It is the highest favor that God can bestow upon his sons and daughters who come into this time state, because they are his elect people to possess this wonderful favor. Why, it has eternal life in it. And Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You consider the world, the dead professed world, who have an excitable religion, and the profane world with all what they live in. What happiness do you think they have in that? Why, that has eternal death in it, my friend. Happiness, thou lovely name, where is thy seat, oh tell me where? Learning, honor, wealth, and fame all cry out, it is not here. Well then, where shall we find it? In this wonderful Christ, who loved the church and gave himself for it, who condescended to be delivered for their offenses and raised again for their justification, and who did declare in his ministry that all manner of sin and of blasphemy shall be forgiven. And if you've had the mark of this wonderful favor, the mark of this celestial dove, Satan can never erase it. You see, where Christ gives life, he maintains it. It is your life in your soul, if you possess it, is hid with Christ in God. And he said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This standard of experience we don't hear much about now, but it is an unspeakable mercy, my friend, when God's people are in a healthy condition where the Spirit works in them to speak of the wonderful work of God in their souls. It doesn't matter what age or case it may be. And I only understand this religion which has the love of God in it, and where this experience is made and brought in by the Holy Spirit, and the child of God is brought to rejoice in Christ Jesus. They are brought to know him and love him and adore him. And this wonderful love, in the experience of it as a child of God enjoys it, it will return to God of David. It has the same language in it, in substance, where God says, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me under the law, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Well now, Christ, you see, speaks so clearly, and what an encouragement there is in this chapter for those who have not had such a terrible deep law work as some. I know a minister who is brought into this world for the ministry. He must have some a goodly measure of the law work, but many of God's people, he worries them when they read of this deep law work because they cannot come up to that standard. But does your religion, my friend, bring you to do what Jesus said, him that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God? And then again you will continue with Christ in the regeneration which he brings you into, and you will continue with Jesus in the path of temptation also. And there is suffering in the work of regeneration, and it is made clear here, friend, that this religion and standard of God's teaching is something more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And though some of us have had many years in this narrow way, we still are found in this healthy exercise condition, still watching daily at his gates, waiting at the posts of his doors, because we cannot live without his visitation. And my friend, it is a mercy. If you and I are in this healthy condition today, and not like those foolish virgins who go back and walk no more with him. Oh, do not dread the tempestuous billows that go over your head, and all the conflict which goes on betwixt the powers of grace and sin, but do dread that treacherous calm which has no exercise in it, which has no travail in it. You see, God, people, they are taught the truth by the inward teaching of the Holy Ghost. And what an unspeakable mercy if you and I are facing the grave with this wonderful Christ, who is both God and man. He always was the infinite and the eternal Son of God, as the divine Word, but when he came in the fullness of time, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem his people from the curse of the law. Oh, what a vast difference there is, and where he has shed abroad his love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, immediately that wonderful Christ became the object of our faith. How can it be said of you and I that we are waiting for his appearing if we do not possess this standard of experience in our soul and affections, my friend? You know, eternity, it's a place of immortality. And in the general resurrection, the dead in Christ will rise first, but the others will rise also. And they will live in a state of immortality and in eternal damnation and destruction, where the standard of Paul's ministry in Thessalonians will be made manifest and realized when the Lord shall come with his mighty angels and with flaming fire, taking vengeance upon all them that know not God, nor the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the Lord and from the glory of his presence, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that receive his testimony. Oh, my friend, that day of judgment, no doubt about it, is fast hastening on. You see, the world and professors, they put it away. They say, where is the promise of his coming? But, my friend, where they die in a dead religion without this standard of experience, they die cursed by the law and damned by the gospel. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. What do your people do when they come before your church? Do they come with the same dream in their soul's experience as I've set before you? Is it what they've done for the Lord, or is it what the Lord has done for them? How beautiful is the words in Ezekiel, I will both search you and seek my sheep, as a shepherd does his sheep in a cloudy day. Oh, my friend, it is an unspeakable mercy if you and I are facing the grave with clean hands, that it was not by our fleshly might, nor by our fleshly will. I am born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but born of God. And you be thankful for God's standard of his illustration in the third chapter of John, where he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. I was speaking to a deacon some time ago who was dug out of the world like myself. And you know, you just can't understand yourself when the Lord comes to you first. And his wife said to him, what's wrong with you? He said, I don't know. Now, you would have thought that man would have had a dreadful law work, wouldn't you? There he was digging his garden on a Sunday, and the Lord spoke twice to him, and he didn't know it was the Lord until the second time. And he said, the second time he came to me, he said, I had to put my tools up in the shed, and no further digging on a Sunday, nor enjoying the pleasures of this world. But you just can't understand yourself, friend, when the Lord does come. I couldn't understand myself, but I do believe I could come in with that beautiful verse in Proverbs. I thought upon my ways and pondered the paths of my feet and turned my feet unto his testimony. So there was a forsaking the things in the world and entering into a place of worship, watching daily at his gates, waiting at the post of his doors. And although it was some time before I ever received the gospel, which is the forgiveness of sins, the Lord did give me encouragement long before I was brought into it. Oh, you have God's inspired word, my friend, and you have a lot to be grateful for, because you know Christ, he contended for that very thing before Nicodemus. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Birth naturally is always in a small compass. Whenever it takes place, it doesn't matter where it's in operation, and so is the new birth in the soul, and God deepens it until he brings his child into a deeper work to feel the more greater necessity of the standard of God's teaching, where the remission of sins is entered into. We must be stripped of all fleshly merit before God, before we want Christ the Savior, which is spoken of in the Scriptures. And yet Jesus said this: they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest. Well, if you can trace this standard in your religion, you've got the Spirit's witness within you that you've been born again of the Holy Ghost. And where he begins the work, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You see, Christ, my friend, is to be known, and he's known in his people. And I have envied young people who have been able to testify of being brought upon by God at the age of 11 and have their sins forgiven at 15. It has the same liberation in it. It liberates from the bondage of the law. It liberates from the curse and the terrors of the law, and it'll send a child of God on their way rejoicing, where they are able to testify, I'm dressed, I'm blessed, my rags are on, and as the hymn goes on with it, and it is joy unspeakable. It's like Naphtali, where it is said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor, full of the blessing of the Lord. And when you find Christ in that gospel, in the sum and substance of it, you can never find your sins if you trace it. I could not find my sins as I looked for them under the blessed sweetness of the forgiveness of sins. And it is a mercy, my friend, that there is forgiveness with God, that he may be feared. But that forgiveness only comes for the church by and through the sacred blood, sacred slip, which made the Savior's garments wet when he the winepress trod. God could not and would not forgive sins without an atonement for justice. People preach the gospel too cheap today. They never begin with the law work where God begins. The conviction, my friend, must be of the Holy Ghost and not a natural one. Otherwise we shall never keep a right view of the wonderful suffering and love of God's dear Son, who poured out his soul unto death to make intercession for the transgressor. You see, blood must be shed to satisfy the law's vindictive claim. Sinner or substitute must die to quench that angry flame. There's no removing of the guilt, curse, and no removed transfer of our guilt, no hope for any one of us till Jesus' blood is spilled. Christ said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and here he is as the divine word, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Now concluding hymn 625, tune Blockley 304. 625. God is a Father, just and wise, and reigns enthroned above the skies. Yet all his saints on earth shall know he condescends to dwell below. 625.
God is sweet fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest upon us each.